And he called him and said unto him, Give an account of your stewardship. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Life in common, either in society or within a community or a family, implies, as we know, certain attitudes, certain behaviors towards others. At the very source of communication between members of a given group of people, we find friendship, or if exercised in view of eternal salvation, in view of heaven, we find charity. This common participation, everyone's participation in the sharing of common goals, common purposes, and generally speaking, towards a common good. And that common good can either be natural, a natural good such as health or wealth, or supernatural good such as grace, participation in grace in the life of God, and taken in a more radical and ultimate good, we find the supreme good, eternal life in heaven with God, eternal beatitude. So this common participation in the different goods around us implies, as we said, a certain friendship, at least at first on the natural level. Friendship in the family, friendship in the political sphere, in the sense of the government of society in general. This, again, on the purely natural level. Now, on a supernatural level, the life in God, this friendship is called charity. This supernatural friendship which tends towards unity, which in turn will be perfected once united in God and rejoicing in that same common beatitude, in that same perfect and unchangeable good, God Himself. However, perfect union in this life will always be limited, as we all experience. As much as I remain I and you remain yourself, I remain with my own weaknesses and imperfections, and the other remained the other. For this reason, this implies a certain respect for others, a certain attitude, as we mentioned at the beginning, attitude, behaviors towards others based on that necessary alterity. I is not you, and you is not I. And it is this fundamental, necessary, and complementary attitude, along with the virtue of charity or friendship, that we find justice. The proper characteristic of life in common is, of course, to gather people together. And for that, we have not only individual goods, but the good, the common good, the good of all the individuals. This proper characteristic of life in common is also to guide individuals in the pursuit of what? Of that common good, in keeping a right balance in the pursuit of both individual goods and the common good, with the individual goods never opposed to the common good. And this, whether in society, in community, or even in marriage. If this attitude of justice, which respects others in their own alterity, is missing, lacking, then the part that each one takes in regard that participation to the common good will not be ensured, will not be guaranteed, but on the contrary, will be jeopardized. And as a consequence, charity or even friendship on the natural level, in all spheres of social life, will not be properly directed. That charity, that love for the neighbor, will not be properly directed, if not in view of the common good. And soon, the social edifice shall collapse. Proof of that can be found in the families, the social groups or forms of government where there is no pursuit of a common goal, of a common good, but simply a desperate attempt to balance the forces, pulling always in different directions and often in opposite directions and never in the same direction. We all know the famous saying, charity begins at home, which here means to acknowledge first who I am truly in regard to others. Not only who I am, but what is also due to my neighbor in relation to the whole of human society and in relation to his or her or my eternal salvation. This is why life in common requires the practice of both charity, of course, and justice. And he called him and said unto him, give an account of your stewardship. So this fundamental attitude of justice must grow, must be exercised and perfected to truly become a virtue, a habit, a stable disposition, able to resist all storms of life and remain firm despite the many ups and downs of life. Through justice, order and peace reign in the lives of individuals as well as in society at large. Order and peace will not be possible without justice. And so justice requires that fine-tuning through the practice of charity, love of the neighbor, to maintain that delicate balance between my rights and duties and the rights and duties of the other. Without justice, and this at all the levels of human life, neither order, as we said, nor peace will be possible, since peace, according to the classical definition, is the tranquility of order, where things are where they should be. My duties, responsibilities towards God, my family, myself, my work, if things are where they should be, that brings much peace to the soul. Tranquility of order. And so without it, without that form of justice, that fine-tuning of justice, and the reciprocal respect of everyone's rights and duties, all turn into chaos, anarchy, warfare between rival interests, and oppression of the weak by the strongest. The triumph, ultimately the triumph, of evil. A famous French orator of the 17th century wrote, when I speak of justice, I speak of the sacred bond that preserves human society, the indispensable curb to license. If justice prevails, good faith is found in treaties, truth in transactions, order in government, the earth is at peace, and heaven itself sheds over us its beneficent light and radiates down to us its blessed influence. And they are, according to the teaching of St. Thomas and before him Aristotle, two kinds of justice. One regarding my duties towards society itself as a whole, and vice versa, society towards me. And the other form of justice regarding my individual rights towards the individual rights of others. The first one is called social justice. The other, individual justice. In both cases, society always has the precedence, the authority over individuals, since its proper object, the proper object of the society, is the common good, what is good for everyone, and not just individual personal goods. Proof of this can be found in the many examples of individuals or citizens who have sacrificed part of their goods, maybe their own freedom, or risked their lives in defense of the country. And in the hierarchy of authorities, if we understand the notion of order, we understand, of course, the notion of authority as well. In the hierarchy of authorities, at the very top, we find, of course, the Church, Mother Church, with all other created societies submitted, obedient to the Church authority, as it was instituted by God, and Christ was placed as the head of this perfect society, the Church. But let's back up here and consider the first kind of justice, social justice, as today's gospel and the current social revolution seem to invite us to reflect upon this reality. How much do you owe my master? A good citizen, in the widest definition of the word citizen, ought to make sure that the needle on the social scale of justice remains at equidistance between law on the one side and freedom on the other side. And two excesses in recent times have shown the dangers of leaning too much on one side or too much on the other side. Of course, always to the detriment of one of the other. This is the dangerous voluntarism of thinkers like Hobbes, Kant, Hegel, in whose systems the law becomes the only means to rule conflicts between different and diverse liberties of the people, supposedly to attain, the ideal social order. So in other words, with this kind of system, the confrontation of individual wills gives birth to laws. And with this kind of mindset, you understand that laws will be established then in order to satisfy each individual desires, to maintain, of course, some kind of peace or concord between people, but without any transcendental law, without any reference to a higher law to govern all the other created laws, divine law. As an example, if a conflict arises between promoters of the gender ideology and those in favor of the divine plan for humankind in creating male and female, then to solve this conflict, we'll have to come up with laws that would give each party its own rights, without, of course, any higher considerations, but only to maintain a certain balance between the opposites. So with this, and it's tricky, it can be very attracting, with this, justice becomes a consequence and not a principle of action. Worse now, with that same vision, that same ideology, the law will ultimately be considered as an arbitrary constraint in the mind of many, because for them, it will seem to contradict the very idea of liberty, of freedom, and will soon degenerate into a legalism that paralyzes social life. On the other side of the scale now, we have rebellious groups, or individuals, governments, rejecting even the simplest laws under the guise of freedom, because they consider these laws unjust or oppressive, as we see in many anarchist liberal groups today and other violent and radical lobbies. So the word social, as in social justice, refers in the mind of many of our contemporaries, and maybe sometimes even in our own minds, to some notion of charity, but without any reference to God and eternal life. A simple kind of philanthropy, a certain natural attention and care that I give to my neighbor. The great danger with this is to fall into a false notion of love of my neighbor and a false notion of Christian charity. It often reduces justice in society to a simple hand stretch to my neighbor in need, certainly in need, but whose needs just make me feel uncomfortable. So what should be the Catholic position? As you understand, justice does not come as a consequence for a peaceful social order, but truly as a principle, a necessary predisposition of our minds and souls, a true virtue that does not consider limited and selfish desires and trends, but considers first the eternal, unchangeable, universal divine decree. And what is this divine decree? That all men are called to union with God, and that everyone is also given the means to attain this union. This virtuous habit of justice perfects the one who possesses it and who practices it in all levels of his relationship with others. Again, the great philosopher Aristotle wrote, "The greatest virtues must needs be those which are most profitable, of course, to other people, because virtue is a faculty of doing good to others." And so for this reason, the greatest honors are accorded the brave and the just, since bravery is useful to others in times of war. But justice is even more useful to others, both in times of war, but also in time of peace. So importance and necessity of justice is obvious. No one can deny that. But again, as we said, in the case of charity, we can apply this to justice. Justice begins at home. There cannot be union of hearts and minds in the family and the pursuit of that common good through order and peace as a consequence if there is not a right, balanced, and delicate spirit of justice in rendering to each other what is truly their due. Respect of children for their parents, of course, and vice versa. Attention to anything that could endanger the common good of the family by correcting its deficient members, or also by encouraging their good efforts, and above all, by giving to God what is due to Him in the practice of religion. As a conclusion, I'd like to share these powerful words of Pope Pius XI. "Surely there is not one that does not know how many and how great are the works that the tireless zeal of Catholics is striving everywhere to carry out, both for social and economic welfare, as well as in the fields of education and religion. But this admirable and unremitting activity not infrequently shows less efficiency, effectiveness, because of the dispersion, the division of its energies, its forces, in too many different directions. Therefore, let all men of goodwill stand united, all who under the shepherds of the Church wish to fight this good and peaceful battle of Christ. And under the leadership and guidance of the Church, let all strive according to the talents, powers, and positions of each to contribute something to the Christian reconstruction of human society, seeking not themselves and their own interest, but those of Jesus Christ, not trying to press at all costs their own ways, opinions, counsels, but ready to sacrifice them, however excellent, if the greater common good should seem to require it, so that in all and above all, Christ may reign, Christ may command, to whom be honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen."